You know what's crazy, Austin? I never actually watched Everybody Loves Raymond, even though he's a sports writer.
Yeah. I've seen an episode or two. That's it.
Yeah, but I've never actually watched it consistently. So maybe that's something I'll have to find, like, on reruns. I have no idea if it's streaming anywhere. There's got to be somewhere that has it, I'm sure. That music, though, means just one thing. It is time to chat with the great Steelers writer himself, Ray Fittipaldo, from the Post-Gazette. Ray is brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, LGKG.com. Ray, I'm sure you've been asked a million times, probably by Joe, because he forgets every single week. Did you watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
I mean, that was a staple in the 90s. I mean, there were so many characters on that show. Not only was Ray Romano great, and still is, but the old man, his father in that show, Peter Boyle, just tremendous. So, yeah, I would – used to be on TBS. I don't know if it's on TBS anymore, but you got to check it out.
What's the name of the big guy with the real deep voice?
Isn't it Brad Gilbert or something like that, I think?
Yeah, you might be right. I know. I've seen him in a few things. I just remember the – he was the real tall fellow with the deep voice. He was in The Pacifier with Vin Diesel in the 2000s.
Yes.
Ray, getting on to – the topic at hand, obviously quarterback is, again, the big story going into this weekend. The Steelers will practice a little bit later. We'll get that report a little bit later. Based on what you've seen so far from Russell Wilson, do you think we're in store for another Justin Fields start this weekend?
Yeah, that's the way it's trending, Donnie. And, you know, even based off what Mike Tomlin said on Tuesday, you could read a lot into that, and, you know, practice hasn't been, you know, any different on Wednesday and Thursday. So, you know, today we'll probably get Russ being questionable again. And then if Mike wants to play this out and keep him guessing into the weekend, I suppose Russ can go out there Sunday morning and do his thing again. But, you know, it seems like 95% sure that Justin's going to start, and, you know, we'll see what next week has in store for Russ. But when he talked yesterday, he just seemed kind of resigned to the fact that he wouldn't be going back home to play the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going off what Mike Tomlin said. And then also I had your colleague at the Post-Gazette, Brian Batko, on the other night. He said, we don't even know if Russell Wilson can run right now.
Yeah.
That is quite problematic. To me, from somebody that plays in the National Football League, if you don't know they can run.
Well, I mean, if you go back and listen to what Russ said yesterday, for the first time, Donnie, he came out and said, quote unquote, it was a pretty good calf injury. And we were all kind of led to believe, you know, late July, early August, that that was all precautionary, that they didn't want to, you know, a small problem to turn into a big problem. Well, here we are 6 weeks later, and, you know, that calf is still very much an issue. So, yeah, Russ hasn't done much here really for the last week, if you go back to last week when he tweaked it. So, you know, we could be in store for the Justin Fields show here for not only this week, but, you know, the next couple of weeks as well.
Do you think there is any change in mindset with Mike Tomlin and the rest of that coaching staff, as in – if Justin Fields plays to kind of what he did in Atlanta, maybe a little bit better, maybe they actually score a touchdown or two in this game, but they keep the football in their possession, they don't turn it over. It's starting to, for at least to me, get to the point that it feels like it is Justin Fields' job to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I think Russell Wilson is still their starter, Donnie, but I mean, you're right. You know, it's going to be harder for the coaching staff to pull him out of games as long as, you know, the team is winning and the offense is playing well behind him. We talked to Arthur Smith yesterday. You know, he mentioned the tough first drive where you had the fumbles and the ball would snap and, you know, really the issues with accuracy. But after that, you know, he mentioned they scored on 6 of their 10 scoring drives. And he said the big momentum shifts were at the end of the halves. You know, he gets that long pass to George Pickens right before halftime, cuts it to 10-9, and the Steelers get momentum going into the half. And then at the end of the game, you know, Justin makes a play with his legs and pretty much puts that game on ice. The Steelers, you know, run down the clock after that, after the 2-minute warning. So Arthur Smith called it efficient football. You look at the stat line, it was nothing great, but I think we knew whether it was Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, they didn't need, with this defense, they didn't need that guy to go out and throw for 300 yards each week.
Another big story to follow when it comes to the Steelers. Will we see the debut of Troy Fautanu on Sunday, and what will be the revolving door either with Dan Moore Jr. or Broderick Jones, Ray? What's your latest on that?
Yeah, we'll probably find out in a couple of hours. You know, I think that's going to be a big storyline after practice today. Guys down there will watch practice, and, you know, they'll have a great feel for who was out there with the ones. So, you know, I think it's trending towards Troy being the right tackle, Dan Moore still being the left tackle. Dan Moore returned to practice yesterday, and honestly, Donnie, I saw him on Wednesday when he didn't practice. He was walking around just fine. Ankle wasn't taped or, you know, anything like that. So that seems like it's a minor deal. So, we'll see if Broderick Jones goes to the bench. But my feeling right now is that, Troy Fautanu will get his first start at right tackle against the Broncos.
Are you a fan of how they're handling that with Jones? I mean, this is a guy who last year in the draft, they traded up to acquire. I know that he was more so a raw talent than what Fautanu was, but I don't know. I just don't love the idea of playing the guy out of position and then benching him for another rookie. This is a dude that you put a lot of stake into just a little over a year ago.
Yeah, I don't think I don't want to say it's being mishandled, because Broderick stepped up in a time of need, and he was able to play right tackle last year, and he's kind of just been stuck over there because Dan Moore hasn't given up that position at left tackle. Listen, it's unfortunate, you know, for Broderick if it turns out to be that way on Sunday, but I do think in due time, and it might just be a couple weeks, I think Broderick Jones will be the starting left tackle, and I think we'll look back on this, Donnie, and we'll be like, oh, that wasn't a big deal at all, you know. So Dan Moore's history says that he has good games and bad games, and I think once we see a bad game or two from him, that they'll look at that as an opportunity to go ahead and get Broderick Jones back into the lineup.
Talking to Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider from the Post Gazette, he's on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, we'll stay on the offensive line for a couple of more questions here. You are somebody who appreciates that, a former collegiate offensive lineman yourself. Zach Frazier, he laid on a very good first impression, at least for me. Man, he looked awesome. They had the snap snafu early, but blocking-wise, that dude looked like the real deal right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was one of their better offensive linemen in that game, he and Dan Moore. I thought those guys played really well. And that bodes so well for the future, Donnie, because I think we all had an inkling that Zach Frazier was going to be a good player. But, you know, you take a guy in the second round, and you're never really sure, if he's going to, pan out to what you think he's going to be. But they've loved this guy since he's walked in the building. He's mature. He's built for it. He's got that sturdy center look about him. And, you know, he can handle NFL noses every single day of the week. Yeah, he's going to come up against a bad matchup a week here or there. But you saw what he did against the Falcons. You saw what Arthur Smith said yesterday about that entire group. I mean, I thought it was interesting. Zach Frazier and Spencer Anderson are making their first NFL starts. They're really still young. Bunch of guys who are 26 and younger on that line. And I think the TV people on Saturday asked Arthur Smith, how are you going to protect that young line of yours? And he said, blunt force trauma. You know, we're gonna come out and we're going to play smash mouth football. And that's what they did. You know, it wasn't pretty at times, but, the Falcons really wore down as that game wore on. So, kudos to Zach Frazier, but all those other offensive linemen as well. You know, we kept talking over the offseason, were they going to get off to a good start? You know, could they pick up where they left off last season when they were running the ball so well? So, you know, at least for 1 week, they seem to be picking up where they were at the end of last season.
Something else that is also a good sign for offensive linemen is when they go through a game and you really don't notice them, because usually when the name is getting called, it's very rarely in the form of praise. We do see that a little bit more today than we used to, Ray. But I felt that way about Spencer Anderson. I thought even in a case where he was playing a little bit out of position, he had to step up big, kick off the season, make his first start in his NFL career. I didn't notice him a ton in a bad way on Sunday. Did you get that same feel?
Yeah, there was one bad pressure. He let up to Grady Jarrett. Almost got Justin Fields hit. Might have got him hit. But listen, Grady Jarrett's been around a long time.
I mean, yep.
He's made better offensive linemen than Spencer Anderson look bad. But you're right. You know, Spencer Anderson, he's a big dude. I want to say he's 6'5". He's probably 320, 325. And, you know, he's a seventh-round pick out of Maryland. Not a lot of people, you know, thought much of the pick when they got him. Thought, okay, maybe he gets on the practice squad. Well, he gets on the 53-man roster his first year. He plays every single position on that line as a rookie, and that really endeared him to the coaching staff. They love that versatility. That's what it comes down to. If you're going to be a backup in the NFL, you got to be able to be flexible and move up and down that line. So he got his first shot at left guard, and you know, it wasn't perfect, but I thought he did well, you know, considering the circumstances.
Arthur Smith also told you guys yesterday when he spoke, the reason why the middle of the field was mostly avoided or completely avoided, we could say, right, in that game against Atlanta. I mean, people were making fun of the passing charts of Justin Fields left and right because it was nothing between the hashes. He credited Jesse Bates. He credited Justin Simmons. Two very good slash great players, absolutely. Do you believe, though, they will start to utilize that more as the season goes on, and it really does just have to do with maybe who's back there playing the center field type for the defense?
Yeah, it depends on where the best players are on a defense any given week. He identified Jesse Bates last week as their game wrecker. He talked about how impressive he was with the Falcons last season when he was around him. So he wanted to stay away from him. You know, I don't get the sense. I think the Broncos are a really good defense, but I don't get the sense that there's anyone in that secondary other than Surtain. And, you know, Surtain's on the outside. It's a little bit of a different animal because he's going to be likely locked down on one player. So that's a little bit, you know, different thing. But I think Arthur Smith is going to be really good. He's going to pick out who the best player is on a defense week to week. They're going to game plan around that, and then they'll try to take advantage of some of the mismatches and some of the weaknesses in other areas. I think he's really good at that, and we saw that last week against the Falcons. They pretty much abandoned a big portion of their playbook, and they were still able to win a game pretty much going away.
Here's where I do have some concern with a game like Sunday. Surtain is a player that has the ability to take George Pickens basically out of the game. I mean, at least take him away from having the big impact plays. Who do you think steps up if it's not George Pickens to be that top target? Because they didn't really have one besides Pickens on Sunday.
Pat Freiermuth, I think, could have a bigger role. I think Jaylen Warren is healthier this week. I think you might see him used a little bit more, and especially in the passing game. You know, he only had two rushes for 7 yards this week, but he's one of their best receivers too. So now that he's seemingly getting over that hamstring injury a little bit more, I think he can be more involved. I mean, you've noticed I haven't mentioned any of the receivers. You know, I suppose Van Jefferson can step up and surprise us. Maybe Scotty Miller, maybe Calvin Austin. But did you look at the snap sheet, Donnie? I mean, I think Calvin Austin and Scotty Miller each played around 15 snaps. I mean, they're in this mode now where they're going to go 3 and 4 tight. They're going to try to mash people. And I don't know that any receiver other than George Pickens is going to be deeply involved week to week.
Yeah, I noticed Michael Pruitt, he had the second most snaps among tight ends, obviously Freiermuth leading the way there. Obviously, he has the past relationship with Arthur Smith. Was that something that you and some of the others that cover the team expected going in, that Pruitt would have more snaps than really more than Washington and Hayward combined?
Yeah, not really, because we heard so much over the summer about, you know, Connor Hayward and how, you know, Arthur Smith really liked him, and they, you know, they were going to move him around and try to take advantage of his skill set. He only played 5 snaps, and, you know, Washington obviously played more than that. He was excellent again in the run game. So I maybe it was just a 1 week thing where Pruitt, you know, they wanted to lean on the Falcons a little bit. They wanted to wear them down, and, you know, Pruitt is obviously a bigger guy and can do that better than Connor Hayward. So I think depending on the defense week to week, I think maybe we might see a little bit more of Washington and Hayward. But you're right. You know, Pruitt has been with Smith a long time, both in Atlanta and with Tennessee. And there's that trust factor there. He believes Michael Pruitt's going to execute what he asked him to do. And there's just a comfort level there for Arthur Smith.
On the defensive side, Patrick Queen did not practice yesterday, a groin injury, putting him on the injury report. I got to talk to his comrade last night. I got to chat with Landon Roberts for about an hour, which, by the way, thank you to him and everybody at Minio's and Allison Park for that fun night. Concerned that Queen is going to miss this one on Sunday, or just kind of a precaution?
Well, he was a little bit quiet against the Falcons, so I wonder if it was bothering him, you know, before or during the game. So only 2 tackles, Donnie, you know, probably, you know, under the production line that a lot of people were expecting. But listen, I'd say if he goes out there and practices even just a little bit today, let's say he's limited and he feels like he can go on Sunday, I think Mike Tomlin will afford him that opportunity. So that's the big one to watch this afternoon around 2-3 o'clock when they release the injury report. If he's limited, I think he'll play. If he doesn't practice, then Peyton Wilson might be in there for his first NFL start.
How do you feel Peyton Wilson acclimated to the NFL game? He had a very big tackle, I thought, early.
Yeah.
He tackled Bijan Robinson. If he doesn't make that play, I think Robinson scores a touchdown, and, you know, who knows where that game goes from there.
He's just got a feel for football. You know, we spent a lot of the offseason talking about his athleticism. That shows up every time he steps on the field. But he knows how to get under blocks. You know, he's not the biggest guy, so he's not going to be a guy who takes on 320-pound blockers all the time. So he's smart about the way he goes about his business. And even in practice yesterday, he was getting all the reps with the starters, obviously, with Patrick Queen out of there. He had a nice interception. You know, so he's got a good feel for sub-package football as well. So, you know, obviously Patrick Queen was brought here for a reason, big free agent signing. Peyton Wilson is probably the replacement for Landon Roberts, you know, in the future. But, yeah, for a one-shot deal, if he has to start on Sunday, I think Peyton Wilson will do just fine.
One of the players that I really had my doubts about coming into the season, maybe it was because I didn't like the trade that he was involved in, but I did think, okay, maybe we're getting out ahead of our skis a little bit about Dante Jackson, but man, I will gladly eat crow about how he looked in week 1, Ray. He was one of the best defensive players, I thought, on the field.
Yeah, he's good. He can make plays after he catches the ball. I mean, you saw that return there. You know, he had the convoy going down the sidelines. And he made a nice little return, you know, that set up the offense there. So, you know, a lot of people have been critical of that Deontay Johnson trade because I don't think a lot of people were familiar with Dante Jackson because of him playing in the NFC pretty much for the entirety of his career. So, you know, Mike Tomlin knew him back at LSU. I think Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert were there for his workout. So they got to know them through the draft process about 5-6 years ago. So there was a comfort level already there with Mike Tomlin. And, you know, so far we talked about it even in training camp in the offseason. He's been a guy who hasn't looked out of place on that defense since he arrived.
How much have you watched of the first Broncos game against the Seahawks, and what were your initial takeaways on Bo Nix?
I wasn't all that impressed. I mean, you know, talk about the passing chart for Justin Fields, but Bo Nix averaged like, what, 3 or 4 yards per attempt or something like that? I mean,
he completed like 26 passes for like $130. It was almost like it was a line that was nearly impossible among today's standards. I have the exact 26 of 42 for 138 and 2 picks.
So it sounds like a Justin Fields performance, and if you take away the 30 and 34 in the 40-yarder. I mean, that's basically what he did. And obviously, once they had to open it up and, Seattle's defense, once Seattle's offense got the lead, they kind of put the clamps down on there. So, I don't think it's going to be an easy game, Donnie. I think the Broncos' defense is good, but, I mean, I would be shocked if the Steelers' defense went in there and gave up, more than 17 points in this game. I just think this is a game that's tailor-made for that defense to go in there and dominate. I know it's a tough place to play. That's why I don't think it's going to be an easy game. But I think, again, if Justin Fields and that offense can play mistake-free football, I think this is a game the Steelers could and they should win.
All right, Ray, what is your prediction? Steelers in Denver on Sunday at 4:25.
Yeah, I'm going to go low scoring. I think you could probably guess the direction I'm going. I'm going to go 16-13. I think Justin Fields does get them in the end zone once. I think it'll be a good performance for Justin, but I think it's going to be a typical conservative game plan like we saw in Atlanta in week one.
I was really hoping you would say all field goals again, because are you aware of the bet that Pony put out there for this week?
No, what was it? Somebody had to hit him with a bat or something like
so,
that?
So he has, in his collection at home, he has a game-used Willie Stargell bat. So a very heavy piece of wood. And he said if they do not score a touchdown again and they win the game, he will let somebody hit him on the ass with that bat.
I don't know. I might make that bet with one of those banana wiffle ball bats, but not with a Willie Stargell, man. That's some heavy-duty lumber right there.
Ray, thanks so much for taking the time. Have fun in Denver.
All right. Thanks, Donnie. See you.
There we go. One of the best guys out there, Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Football Talk on the Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey today until 2. Austin Bechtold, our guy City Limits, behind the glass. Austin and I will be together all day. We have a few days on the calendar like this, Austin. We were together last Friday night with KDKA High School football. We'll be doing that again tonight. We also had a college football game together last Saturday. We got to get more of those next year. I'm going to have to...
We do, Donnie. You're so busy with your weddings and other events. You're a popular man.
I know. I'm in that prime of wedding years, which you're going to hit pretty soon.
It's coming.
You're going to hit that pretty soon.
A friend of mine, Teddy, got engaged a couple weeks ago. Congrats to him.
Yeah, I mean,
Wiffle.
Yeah, and it just doesn't stop. Like, you hit the age of, because you're what now? Like, 20, are you 22, 23?
23.
Okay.
23 as of March this last year.
Yeah, you're going to hit like 25, 26, and then it's going to be a pretty steady stream until like 29 to 30.
We have in our group, and we have a pretty big group, about two guys who are likely to maybe get engaged in the next year plus. Like, I don't know who's listening, if they're listening and getting, like, weird thoughts now. But, there's been conversations about things. So that's the only ones that have popped up, about two or three. But you've had about 15 in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's also with Sarah having a big friend group. She was in a sorority at Duquesne. So she's had plenty of sorority sisters now get engaged and married. The combination of the two of us, yeah, we've had like 7 or 8 in the last 2 years. So like around 15 to 16. We already have multiple lined up for 25.
That's a lot of cookie tables, Donnie.
Oh, it is, which I do love. Although I think one or two of the weddings next year, I think, are actually out of state.
So
I don't know if the cookie table will be making the travel. Limits, the Steelers get set for the Broncos on Sunday. We just had a very good chat with Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. If you missed that, please go back and listen on our Odyssey app. Ray, one of the best in the business at what he does. The Russell Wilson injury, it sounds yet again like Justin Fields will be the guy that starts in this game for the Steelers on Sunday. Ray put it at about 95%, and he left just a little bit there of wiggle room for Russell Wilson to possibly play, but he said the way that Wilson seemed yesterday, the way he was talking, the way that he, for the first time really, said that his calf injury was a little bit more serious than they let on, I think that's a little bit more than a minor deal. Maybe not quite a major deal, but a little bit more than minor. Maybe right there in the middle, that perfect bowl of porridge when it comes to being what size of deal it is. I think Justin Fields is going to play in this game, and I stand by what I was saying with Pony and Mueller earlier this week. I stand by what I was saying a few nights ago when I was hosting Wednesday evening. I think we are in the position that it is Justin Fields' job to now lose. I think that Mike Tomlin got to see what it was like with Justin Fields as his quarterback, and it wasn't like Justin Fields blew everybody away. It wasn't like he had a game of his life against the Falcons. I thought he played a pretty average game. I described it as okay. It is still possible to have an average game or just to be okay. It's not either you were great or you sucked, which some people get caught into. It's got to be one or the other. There is still room for middle ground there, room for that gray area. 17 of 23, 156 through the air. He did not throw an interception. We know that the passing chart was made fun of because he did not go to the middle of the field. The Steelers avoided the big defenders on the Atlanta side of things. But a rating of nearly 92. He also ran for 57 yards. He did have another fumbled snap, which is what I worry about. He did not lose the fumble, however. He kept it clean for the most part. That goes a long way with Mike Tomlin. I almost think him not turning the football over is as important as scoring touchdowns to Mike Tomlin, maybe even more so. Because, yeah, getting 6 points is a lot nicer than settling for 3 every single time. But in some of these early games that the Steelers will have, they can get away with a few rock fights. And we know that is the type of game that Mike Tomlin specializes in. Sure, every coach would like to see the offense score 35 points per game. They would love to light up the scoreboard. That's not going to happen here. But if Justin Fields can prove to be a player that doesn't turn the football over, he provides that difference on the ground, his mobility is a huge game changer and X factor. Something else that was a key last week, one of the key stats, was the lack of 3 and outs the Steelers had on offense. We knew what an issue that was in 2023. It would be 3 and out. The defense would be gassed. The defense would make a play. The defense would come right back out there. The offense would get the football back. They'd go 3 and out. Defense still gassed. You keep that defense fresh, that defense can be great. Maybe we can see that defense play to the level that it's paid. And Justin Fields does have a way to do that. He is an X factor to keep the football in the hands of the Steelers. So I think if he plays a game, maybe a tad better than what we saw in Atlanta, but if it's mostly the same, if it's him making a few big throws and otherwise making some safe throws, keeping the football in the possession of his offense, changing the game a little bit with what he can do on third down. You get into a 3rd and 5 situation, and it feels a whole lot better than last season. Austin, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like last year, the Steelers got into a 3rd and medium or worse. I had very little confidence they would move the sticks. With Fields, not that he's any sort of Hall of Fame player, but that mobility just changes things so much. Like, you have the feeling of, Justin can get this done on the ground. If he runs into trouble, it's 3rd and 7, he can get 8 yards.
I felt the same way, partly because the line, I think, is better this year. At least I think will be better. It's going to take a while for them to gel and mesh and just get more experience in NFL snaps because they're so young. But Justin Fields, I like him better than Wilson at this point, partly because of the injury, but that mobility, it's unpredictable, Donnie. It keeps the defense off balance and off guard. And we saw it a couple times against Atlanta, whether maybe the pocket breaks down on a 3rd and 2, a 3rd and 3. Sure, they didn't get it on 4th and 1 at the 6. That seems like a lot of miscommunication. But the element that he brings to the field is something that the Steelers haven't had in a long time. It's something that I think fits the Arthur Smith offense. He likes this mobility, and Justin Fields provides that. And yeah, you're going to get some bad with Fields. He didn't turn the ball over last week. Maybe it happens this week. But with the good, with the bad, comes a lot of good. And if they can find a way to control it and enhance it with that rushing attack, it provides a lot of upside.
Yeah, I mean, you think of the very first drive they had last week. They fell into like a 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and Fields able to get the first down on the ground. Like, it just gives you that sense of comfort of, hey, if things do fall by the wayside down the field, and I get that his vision is not great. It's a guy that doesn't read the field very well. He doesn't read defenses very well. That's always been the knock on him. He can make things happen with his legs. Now, does that lead to a long career in the league? Not really, but at least for this season, at least for right now, it does give them a different element that they seemingly don't have with Russell Wilson. Brian Batko said the other day, and I brought it up to Ray, we don't know if Russ can run right now. You can't play in an NFL game if you can't run. If you are any sort of skilled player, you cannot play in an NFL game without having any mobility. I know that we saw it at times with Ben Roethlisberger late in his career, and times where there was a Thursday night game against the Browns like 15 years ago where he suffered a high ankle sprain. He came back in. He simply caught the snap and threw the football. A little bit different then, because Big Ben was still playing at quite the high level. We already don't know what level of play Russell Wilson will be at. It's a lot more difficult for this offense to move if the quarterback provides zero X factor with the legs.
And Russell Wilson, when you think about him and you think about his NFL career, whether it's Seattle, Denver, whatever, one of the first thing that comes to mind to me is mobility and his willingness, especially in Seattle, to roll out of the pocket, make something happen, whether it's his legs. He's what, top five all time in quarterback rushing yards ever? And there's a lot of highlights that are out there from his Seattle days of you just roll out, chuck it up, and there's Doug Baldwin. There's just name random, yep. Jared Kearse, any wide receiver from Seattle. There's Tyler Lockett. And if Russell Wilson's calf injury, which I think is worse than his let is being on, is that bad, and he can't move around, and he's not even half the mobility type of quarterback that Justin Fields is and provide an extra element and an extra threat, how valuable is he to the Steelers, other than being a good veteran with solid accuracy?
Coming up, we'll get into a few more Steelers topics here before we get to Nick Kostos just after 12. Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet, he will give us the skinny really around the entire National Football League. We'll ask him about some college games as well, what he likes this weekend on the betting markets. If you want to chime in, 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. You can also hit us up on Twitter. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll keep the Steelers talk going. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey today. Joe, a little bit under the weather. Was it more of that or more a lost voice?
It was a lost voice. He said he feels fine, and he texted me last night. The voice is completely gone, but he feels fine. It's just the voice is completely shot. You know, it's weird, Donnie. The same thing happened to me last year, and I was just so distraught because, we called the
it,
first.
It happened, yeah, when we were together.
Oh, you know it. Well, no, not even just that. Last year, because I was working. It was crazy because working the morning show twice, working on KDK a little bit before I got full-time with the guys, I was bouncing around working like 5 different jobs and getting very little sleep and stuff like that. And right before, like the day before, I was supposed to call the first college football game of the season on TV. Gone. Voice shot. Day before, did a high school game. It was teetering. I kind of felt just like Joe with the voice. And then later on that night, the voice was completely gone. I woke up with no voice. I literally could not talk. And I felt completely fine. It's a weird feeling. It's a horrible feeling, especially in the business that we're in, because it feels like you're taken away. Like, life is taken away from you. You can't do what you love to do. You cannot talk. And it's awful. Just rest and just time is all that heals it. It's very frustrating.
I went to WrestleMania this past year, and I had to host the evening on the Tuesday after I came back. So just one day removed after getting back from Philly.
Yeah, I remember this.
And I had no voice. And I made Craig, our boss, aware of that. And he said, well, just talk very little. You know, you can play things back, like, you know, whatever you need to do to get through, you know, just, you know, play interviews back or something like that. What it transpired into was just 4.5 hours of people actually calling in and wanting to talk about pro wrestling, something
awesome.
I never expected. So the voice got saved a little bit by the callers that night. But, yeah, I mean, I think back to the game we had last year. It was, what, Allegheny and Grove City?
Yes, it's always Allegheny where I'm going.
You'll be there again.
I know. So, please, Allegheny, whatever it is, I love going up to Allegheny. I don't know why I lose my voice when I go up there. At least I did once. And then in the final 5 minutes with you after I felt fine, it just gave out. And I looked at you and I was like, I felt like the Abominable Snowman when he lost all of his teeth and Rudolph. Like, I can't talk. I can't do anything.
I mean,
it's the changing weather that gets me all the time.
Yeah, which that was a day where it was a night game, so it was pretty warm during the day. It got cool at night in the booth.
No, it dropped probably 20 degrees that day.
And, yeah, I mean, there was like 3 or 4 minutes left in the game. Your voice was shot. Well, I mean, luckily I have done football play-by-play in my past, so, I mean, we were able to get through that final 3 minutes. I had zero idea, though, how to do the closing, what the protocol was there. So that
you
was a little
well.
Bit shoddy. But, yeah, that was a funny moment.
Not when... very funny for me. We can laugh at it now. Wasn't funny then.
Well, hopefully it holds up for you tomorrow when you're up there. And you get to see the St. Vincent Bearcats.
That's
I'm going
right.
to do all but one of their home games this year. So you will get an earlier scouting report on them than I would. I may be coming to you for some notes after you see that game tomorrow.
And our friend Mr. Chipping Away, Chase Johnston.
Yes.
That'll
Chase Johnston, who has heard clips on this station from a trip that was taken to Carolina a few years ago about the Steelers just chipping away. The offensive line coach for the Bearcats. Did you have a Zoom call with him this week, or
no,
did you just get Aaron Smetanka on the horn?
I talked to Coach Smetanka. I will talk to Chase probably on the field tomorrow if I don't send him a text beforehand.
Now, Chase, not a tough guy to miss, so you should run into him tomorrow when you're at Allegheny.